Mrs. Housewife, do you smell something burning? Well, in that case... what your favorite charity is. I know that in many cases of necessity, your favorite charity is you and your own. However, I ran across a very good suggestion if you're interested in helping a lot of people who need help.
Well, bring it on, Ace. I'm perfectly willing to help.
Well, thanks, Brad, for volunteering.
Nothing at all, nothing at all.
We'd hope for better than nothing at all, but I guess it gives us a start anyway. The idea, girls, if you want to help somebody, is to give a progressive tea. You start the ball rolling this way. Invite six of your gal friends for a cup of tea and a sandwich. And I mean, really, tea and a sandwich.
What? No pickles or preserves?
Not even an extra vanilla wafer. The idea is to keep the party cost down to practically nothing. When you invite the girls, tell them to bring their knitting that they're willing to donate to charity, or an article of clothing that they're planning to contribute, or $1. In turn, each of the six girls that you invite gives her own tea. You can see how this thing will roll up to be quite an enterprise. Lots of people who are paved with good intentions will get an opportunity to really go to town on some bit of relief that they've been planning to carry out for some time. The trouble with many of our gestures in the direction of the less fortunate is that they begin and end with planning, and we never get to the execution of them. It just struck me that this might be a way to get things started in your community, and the idea might spread. Well, let's get back to our homework. Regardless of what you think of beer, the beer cap has another use other than getting in the way of the beer drinker.
I know. It runs up the dentist bill.
The dentist bill?
Yeah, when you bite the cap off the bottle.
Brad, we're not interested in the beer cap while it's still between you and the beer. You can do very little about using it then, but when it comes off the bottle, Mr. Albert in Fresno, California, says it makes a good scraper. He wants you to nail a number of caps with the sharp edges up on a board. If you don't want to nail them on a board, you can nail them to the door sill. Then on a rainy day, you can scrape the mud off your shoes.
Oh, what will the neighbors say?
When it's brand new, the neighbors will probably feel that you're trying to show them what a tough night you had the night before. But after it's gathered a little snow and mud from here and there, there'll be less news to the neighborhood. Have you a window that needs frosting, Well, there's no use running around for years playing peekaboo with a window that gives everybody a wrong-eye view of what you're doing when you think you're alone. If you'd like to frost your own window, Mrs. Clark says in Sioux City, Iowa, they make a very strong solution of Epsom salts and vinegar.
Epsom salts and vinegar?
Epsom salts and vinegar. That's applied with a paintbrush, and when it's dry, you go over it with white varnish, if you're sure you want it to stick to the glass for good. Now, girls, just so you're not completely in the dark behind your frosted window, let's have Junior tell you what it's all about. Junior. Girls, before we take up the next couple of rounds in the household battle, let's have Brad sing for us.
Last night we met, and I dream of you yet, with the wind and the rain in your hair. As you whisper good night with the wind and the rain in your hair. Now it will be my favorite memory, that vision of you standing there.
Happen to have an intimate friend who owns a carpet firm? Well, you better have Mr. and Mrs. Carpet Firm right out over to dinner. It turns out that they'll be more useful to you than you had any idea.
They better be if we're going to feed them.
Well, of course, I don't think you can just use people for what they're worth and not care, but it's just as well to fit your plans in with your friend's occupations, I always say.
I wish I had a friend who could print money.
I did have a friend who could print money, but he'll be away for some time, they tell me. Well, anyway, in the case of the Carpet Firm family, Mrs. Hughes in Matawan, New Jersey, will help you make your plans. She says carpet firms discard discontinued rug samples. So far, they've been throwing them out. But now you can change all that if you want to. These samples are bound and usually measure about 9 by 12 inches and 9 by 4.5 inches.
I wrote that down.
All right. Now that you know that, remember it. When you have the Carpet Firm family firmly filled with your good food, sidle up to Mr. Carpet Firm and give him a nudge and say, "Thrown away any samples?"
That will take him by surprise, won't it?
Yes, but you tell him immediately that you have a use for old carpet samples. You see, the carpet samples, if they're sewed together, will make a dandy rug themselves. On the first row, you sew a light color to a dark one. On the second row, you sew a dark color to a light one. When your rug's the size you want, you sew smaller ones around the edge for a border. This gives kind of a tiled effect, and it can be used in front of the fireplace or in the bathroom. Of course, having talked out so loud, I suppose that any of the carpet firms who've been discontinuing and discarding samples will not continue to discontinue. It's certainly understandable because they want you to buy new carpets rather than making them at home.
I think we've given everyone a fair chance, though.
This brings up something else that you shouldn't throw away. Not only are you not to throw away any stale bread, but you're not to throw any bread away that is turned to any extent from the fresh side. If the bread has kind of a sleepy look and looks as if it's about to mold, Mrs. Horace in Sherbrooke, Quebec, says that it's the moment that you're to toast the bread, and you'll be able to use it. You don't have to toast it thoroughly, of course. Just give it a light toasting, and it'll discourage any bit of mold that has any ideas of squatter privileges on your semi-stale bread. Now that we've stopped your bread from molding, let's start Brad Reynolds singing. Brad, sing Come Back to Erin.
Come back to Erin, my morning. Come back around to the land of thy birth. Come with the shamrocks and springtime of morning, and its fair line shall ring with our mirth. Send ye to beautiful England, little we thought of the long winter day, little we thought of the hush of the twilight over the mountain, the bluff and the brave. Shall ring
Ah, Bradford, that's a pretty thing. I like that tone. I've heard it for some time. My grandmother used to sing it at all.
Sure she did.
Oh, all the time she used to do. She used to read the paper and sing that, and I had oatmeal all the time I was a child.
Oatmeal with or without sugar?
Well, without sugar, of
course.
Girls, have you ever thought of baked beans and green pepper cases?
I spend whole days thinking of baked beans and green pepper cases.
Well, Mrs. Coleman in Boston, Massachusetts, doesn't think it's a bad idea. Why don't you try gathering together 4 large green peppers and 1 18-ounce can of oven-baked beans? These, along with 1/2 cup of buttered breadcrumbs, put you well on the road to baked beans in green pepper cases. If you want to continue to travel in the right direction, prepare the peppers and fill them with the baked beans. Sprinkle them with the buttered crumbs and place them in a baking dish. Pour about 4 tablespoonfuls of water around the peppers and bake them in a moderately hot oven. You know, you bake the peppers until they're tender and the crumbs are brown.
I'd rather have meatballs.
What, no baked beans and green peppers? Well, how about some crispy candy?
Well, I'll consider the crispy candy.
All right, then. Mrs. Spellman in Bonifay, Florida, says to melt a 10-cent size of marshmallows, you know, package, and a stick of butter over a low flame. Then add 1 teaspoonful of vanilla and a package of that crisp rice breakfast food. You don't stand there looking at it, but you stir it until all the grains are coated. Then you remove it from the fire.
Is it time to eat it yet?
No, you shape it with a spoon or your fingers into egg-sized pieces and then sprinkle the pieces with sugar and put them on a buttered platter.
And lick the spoon.
Junior, while Brad's licking the spoon, will you mind the store? Did you know, says Mrs. Sobel in Cleveland, Ohio. Did you know that bits and pieces of old felt hats cut into the shape of your shoe make excellent insoles?
Nothing like a solid pudding, says Mrs. Logan in St. Paul, Minneapolis. Did you know, just before you put the top crust on a peach pie, a teaspoonful of brandy over the peaches will make it dandy.
Even in St. Paul, Minneapolis, sir.
Minnesota.
Oh, yes. Well, all right. I just want to know you know where you're going. Here's mine, says Mrs. Lowe in Jefferson, South Dakota. Did you know it's a good idea to keep your sewing basket handy beside your ironing board so that you can put that button on at the right moment? Housewife, I hope there's nothing burning. Housewife, do you smell something burning? Well, in that case... Not to startle you out of your most comfortable chair, but I'd like to remind you that we pay for everything in life. We all know that's true, but there's certainly no use in paying with indigestion because you've enjoyed rich roast beef, a bit of pork, or even something fried.
Those things always give me heartburn.
Girls, if Brad's iron constitution suffers to that extent, the rest of us should be very careful. Mrs. Mapes in Jackson, Mississippi, calls our attention to the fact that apples are the answer to the burn and heartburn.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yes, of course, except in the case of a broken leg. But to get back to Mrs. Mapes, she says if you serve apples as salad, jelly, or dessert, you'll find that they supply the acid to eat up the fats which are causing all the trouble. I just thought you'd like to know that in case you haven't been a supporter of the cranberry sauce with turkey, the applesauce with pork, and the pickle with something else again. These sidekicks of rich dishes I like, no matter what anybody says, have been vindicated by laboratory tests and will help your stomach out in case it's getting tired of coping with a rich situation all by itself.
I feel better already.
All right, Brad. If it's improved your appetite, I'd like to go a bit further.
Oh, go as far as you like. I can eat anything.
That I know. This next bit will tickle your taster, too. Mrs. Harrison in Seattle, Washington, offers this as the blade that cuts the dull food situation when it's tied itself into a knotty problem around your appetite. She wants you to remember that a teaspoonful of mixed pickle spices tied in a small bag and added to water in which fish, ham, or tongue is boiled will improve the flavor. I'm very grateful for that bit of information because all anyone has to do is to look at an old, tired, boiled fish to know that you have to do something about it before you can expect it to tickle your tonsils.
What are we going to have for dessert?
Well, I won't have any, but why don't you have cake?
All right, I'll have cake.
I'm glad you decided on that, Brad, because several people have asked which was better to frost, the top or the bottom of a cake. Much to my surprise, I find that you can get up quite an argument. The top-siders oppose the bottom-siders violently. I don't want to enter into such an argument, but Mrs. Potter in Columbus, Ohio, takes up the cudgel. She says the top side of cakes take the frosting better since the surface is less porous.
Well, there's no law against frosting the bottom side of a cake.
No, indeed. You can't just brush it over, or you can, rather, just brush it over with the white of an egg. The egg quite sort of acts as a priming coat, and the frosting goes on as smooth as you please. Furthermore, if you try it on my say-so and it doesn't work, Junior will eat it. Where is he, by the way? Junior? Junior? Mind the store! Thank you, Junior. Every time you're behind the counter, you make a sale. Girls, we want to go on with several other things, including the care of stainless steel and even a note on storing linoleum. But before we put you to work again, let's have Brad entertain us all with a song called Forgotten.
Forgotten you, well, if forgetting be thinking all the day, how the long hours dragged since you left me. Days seem years with you away. Forgotten you, well, if forgetting be yearning with all longing, half pain and half rapture, for the time when we never shall part. If the wild wish to see can hear you, to be held in your arms again. If this be forgetting, you're right here. And
have you any stainless steel in your little home? Well, if you have no stainless steel, maybe you're the chromium kid around your neighborhood. Mrs. Palmer in Lincoln, Nebraska, got to thinking about people who have to take care of stainless steel and chromium, and she got kind of worried. She was worried because, you know, everyone's a polisher at heart.
Sure, give most people a polishing cloth and they go perfectly stark, raving mad.
That's right. They fly around lighting on and rubbing everything that looks like it should have a gleam in it.
Well, isn't that all right?
Mrs. Palmer tells me that alloys such as stainless steel and chromium usually need no extra polishing. All you have to do is to simply wash them with soap and water and rinse them with clear water and dry them thoroughly with a soft cloth. Now, girls, if you're going to be awfully hurt about that, and nobody's given you an old piece of brass to carry out your polishing plans, you can polish stainless steel or chromium, but it's not a good idea to go any further than using a paste of whiting and water. Having taken care of your hardware, let's take a look at your linoleum. If you happen to have a summer place that has to be closed each year, in the first place, you're very lucky to have a summer place, and in the second place, you're probably wondering what to do with the linoleum that you have around here and there for convenience. Mrs. Carter, who has her summer place in Greenville, Maine, says that you can't just toss the linoleum anywhere.
Why not?
Well, you have to make an effort about it.
Well, do you have to wrap it in tissue paper?
Can if you want to, but the thing you've got to do is to be sure and store it away from excess damp and heat. Linoleum just won't do well if it's left around where it can get messed up with those two elements.
What happens to it?
I don't know. It gets kind of linoleum rheumatism, I guess. Anyway, girls, the thing to remember is to store it high and dry, but in not too hot a place. Here's an item I don't quite understand. That really goes for a number of items, but this one particularly. Perhaps those among you who've done quite a bit of backyard cooking or who take to the forest primeval in the summertime will find it easier to figure out. Mrs. Gordon in Butte, Montana, says that a sheet of asbestos paper rolled into a cone shape will act as an oven when it's placed securely in the fire.
How do you mean?
You stick the small end in the fire, Brad, and it offers you a place to bake apples and eggs and potatoes or hot dogs. I suppose she means, girls, that you're to toss them in like a horn of plenty, and the fire lapping up the sides of the asbestos will turn them quickly into something to eat. Now that we have the fire burning brightly, let's warm our hands by gathering around Brad Reynolds as he sings My Pet Brunette of All Things.
Pet brunette, love me, and always think of me as I think of you. Hear me, my little one, hear me. I need you right near me. I want you, I do. My pet brunette, take me. How can you forsake me? Why won't you be true? See, dear, have pity on me, dear, and answer my plea, dear. I love only you. Thank you.
about if you will, we'll go right on minding your business?
Did you like that?
I thought I was charming. I thought you were going to sing the Spanish version.
Well, you know.
Your habla?
Habla, yes.
Habla, a little yes. too. Well, anyway, to get back to Mrs. Hill, who is in Halifax, Nova Scotia, she offers what may be the solution for your dinner problems for this evening. Her advice is, when in doubt, go stuff a vegetable.
You mean have stuffed tomato tomatoes?
Oh, well, some people think that the only thing that can be stuffed is a tomato, but of course that isn't true. You can even stuff a sofa.
That makes very bad eating, though.
That's true. We want to call your attention to the fact that you can stuff eggplant, onions, cabbage, cucumbers, and, of course, green peppers. Vegetable stuffing is an excellent way to use leftovers like ham or any meat that's in danger of going to waste. You're to cook all such vegetables, of course, until they're tender. But you don't keep them over the fire until they collapse. A caved-in stuffed pepper is sort of a dismal thing to run into of a rainy evening.
I think a depleted cucumber is pretty sad, too.
Anyway, to wind all this up, a stuffed vegetable is a good main dish for either lunch or dinner, and it usually looks fancy enough so that no one knows you're slipping one over by using what you have left in the icebox. Oh, speaking of leftovers, open the refrigerator, Brad, will
you? Sure. Oh, look, Junior has something on ice.
Well, Junior, why don't you come out and tell us about it? Did you know and start them off, says Mrs. Mason in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Did you know that marshmallows make good candle holders on a birthday cake?
I have one you may have used, says Miss McKay in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Did you know if ice is rubbed on chewing gum when it's stuck on clothes, it will harden it and make it easy to remove?
That's all right with me, says Mrs. Sullivan in Waxahachie, Texas.
What a name.
Waxahachie. Well, anyway, did you know that it's an easy way to remove grass stains is to cover them with table syrup, let it remain overnight, and then wash it in the usual way. Housewife, I hope there's nothing burning.